Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. It's Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Miss Allie Mack hanging out here live at Falcons training camp. We're joined right now by Falcons linebacker Caden Ellis, and got a lot of things to talk about. Obviously, pads came on today, man. How you feel? You strike me as the kind of guy that likes the upkeep on the body. You know, I don't want to speak for you, man, but I knew guys like you, you know, like the oxygen tent, things like that. But how's the body feel coming in day one? Obviously, the acclimation period's over and you guys got a little physical today.
It was good. Yes, I am proud of myself to take care of my body as I think any good pro needs to. But at the end of the day, you know, you build it up and you make sure everything's good for these types of days, for the pads, and obviously not live tackle or anything like that, but the increase in physicality is there, and it was a good day.
Obviously, these are hard days. So before we got back to training camp almost a week ago, what were you doing in your off season? What did you do for fun?
A lot of time with the family. I got a little 5-year-old boy, 3-year-old girl, beautiful wife. So it's just, you know, once training camp comes, I don't get to see him as much. So it was really get as much time with him as I can, take my kids, go work out, with the wifey, hang out by the pool, relax, soak in the sun, enjoy this nice Georgia weather.
Caden Ellis here on the morning shift with us. All right, you know, you're in New Orleans, and Ryan Nielsen was kind of a part of that defense, right? He's the line coach. So it's a familiar scheme for you. Then he comes here, you come here, then you go through Jimmy Lake, and now you've got Jeff Ulbrich. Like, how is it learning different schemes? Because I don't know what you're doing now, but I know in the others, the one thing that you've always been asked to do is come after the quarterback. So how is it learning these new schemes and fitting into what they want you to do?
You know, it's so much fun. It's really cool, you know, getting to see different places, how they do it, and learn from different people that just have these great minds for the X's and O's. Getting to be with Dennis Allen and Ryan Nielsen, Chris Richard, defense coordinators over in New Orleans. It was a blast, and it was so fun to learn under them, and then come with Nielsen here, see how they do it. And we've had some really special defenses with them. Then getting to work with Jimmy, and obviously he was with the Rams, and getting to see, you know, kind of learn the system that, you know, won a Super Bowl over there in L.A. That was awesome. Really fun to learn. And I've been watching the Jets defense for a while. They've been a defense that you respected these last few years. And now I got Ulbrich, and he's teaching it to us. So it's really cool getting to see, you know, a term I learned when I was a rookie was there's so many different ways to do it. You can, you know, play different formations and plays in so many different ways. You know, it's just a different way to skin the cat. And so getting to see how these great minds each do it a little differently has been a lot of fun. And I think overall really helps me grow as a player, because you get to realize and understand how offenses try to attack different defenses in different ways. When I was only in that quarters world over in New Orleans, I saw the same beaters over and over again from the offense. And now these last 2 years, I've really had to expand that book of, okay, how do offenses want to attack these defenses? Why do they run these plays? What are they looking for? And it helps you.
Real quick, a follow-up on that. When you were in New Orleans, and Mike played offensive line, so he loves watching the trenches, and him and I are sitting here, we signed you, and we're like, all right, what's he great at? It almost felt like one of the things that you were so good at was playing with discipline and just not leaving your spot, and it helped you a lot. I mean, how hard is that to just stay true to your discipline and not want to just – see it and go?
You know, I didn't get on the field initially in New Orleans. It took me a while too, and I think the talent was always there. I tore my ACL my rookie year, and so that second year, you know, there was a little bit of I wasn't a 8-month recovery guy. Like, I got back to play the next year, but my knee didn't feel the same. But that third and fourth year, and then my rookie year, I think everybody in the building knew I had the athleticism to play. It was really the eye discipline, and I remember my first start that I got in New Orleans against Pittsburgh. Dennis Allen came up to me, and he's just like, Caden, your eyes. It's all about your eyes today, all right? And that's something he always preached to me. And then really, you know, it was tough not getting to play very much those first couple of years, but it really forced me to grow as a player. And instead of just letting talent take over all the time, quickness, strength, agility, technique, all those things, allowing your discipline to take over, right? And that's something that a lot of people talk about, not something a lot of people think about. But really, I had to earn DA's trust to get on that field. And to do it, I had to have disciplined eyes. And so that was something that, you know, there's still times where I really want to just go. And sometimes I do. I did a couple times in practice today when I probably shouldn't have. That's all right. You know, it's the first day of pads. You got a little juiced up. But at the end of the day, if you can be disciplined with your eyes, disciplined, you know, with what you're seeing and how you're moving, you know, maybe processing fast, moving your body slow till it's time to go, it allows you to make a lot more plays.
Couple more minutes here with Falcons linebacker Caden Ellis. Man, you're speaking my language right now. I love getting into the nitty-gritty. Matter of fact, when you were signed, I was doing a rip move on Bo in the office. I was explaining how good you were at getting to the back shoulder when you you're running twist games. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Getting the linemen on two different levels. I was like, man, this guy's just, he's elite at this. You know what I mean? Obviously, has led to a lot of sack numbers for you throughout your career. I don't think you got a chance to cross paths with him. One of my college teammates was Roman Harper, former New Orleans Saint safety. And I was listening to him talk a little bit a week ago, and he was saying that basically when he came out of college and got to New Orleans, he was listening to the coach tell him what to do. Right, he was like, I know exactly what the coach wants me to do. I'm going to do exactly what he says. Then as he got to be older and understood defenses like you're talking about, understand how he's being attacked, he knew kind of, hey, I need to shade this way. I need to attack this way. What level do you feel like you're at in your career? I mean, you obviously understand defense at a very high level. You've always been kind of the green dot on defense and obviously play that leadership role. But how much now with some of the youth surrounding you on defense is just simply getting guys in the right place and helping them to understand the game at a deeper level?
Yeah. No, I think that's something that, and this goes back to one of the first questions you guys asked about the different systems. I think the longer you're in a system, Brick's been talking about it a lot, is like find the plays within the play. And that's something that by the end of my time in New Orleans, after watching DeMario and Kiko and Alex and AJ and Quan Alexander, watching all these guys go and dominate, you know, at linebacker Pete Warner, I got to see a lot of the plays they were making within the plays. Plays that maybe on the when you draw it up on the chalkboard, DeMario wasn't necessarily supposed to make that play, but he knew he could, and he knew that, you know, this they want to beat me on this, and because they want to beat me on this, I'm going to recognize it, I'm going to jump it, and it's going to be a great play, you know. Yeah. So when you're in these systems, it's as how fast can you get to that point? And, you know, that was one thing last year. I feel like I started a little slow, and our defense started a little slow, and it was a little disappointing to me. And really, I wish I would have gone back and called Ernest, you know, figured out, like, hey, what are the plays within this Rams defense? Or gone and asked Ron's office, like, what are the plays within the play here? Like, how I know the X and O, but what were you making plays on? And finally, Ra kind of helped me with that. Jimmy helped me with that. And all of a sudden, the second half of the season took off, right? And so that's something that I've been talking a lot with Rudy, because he was a linebacker coach over in New York. Got his teach tapes in with Brick, and then talking with Rude. They're just helping me with, like, all right, let's get to that point. So right when the season starts, we're making those plays within the plays. We know when you can do these little extra things. I'm not going to say them all right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But maybe they think they have
you. If you want to.
Maybe they think they have you in a coverage right now. No, that's an opportunity to make a play because you know it's coming. Or this is an opportunity that you can get after that quarterback. This is an opportunity that you can shoot a gap. This is an opportunity you should play slow, and you're going to make a great play over the top. So that's what we're trying to learn right now. And I think where I'm at in my career, you know, I'm in my year seven. Like, I played a lot of football. I know a lot of football. You put me some of these systems, I know the plays to make. But this is a new system. This is a new defense. And so right now, to me, really kind of the, it's kind of a race to get to, you know, CJ Mosley was dominating in this defense. But he was in it for years, right? And he knew the game. He was a great player. So he knew the plays within the play. How fast can I get to knowing those plays?
Well, let's pivot a little bit from the X's and O's. And I know these guys got questions for you as well. Finishing up here with Falcons linebacker Caden Ellis. Chippiness at practice has been kind of nice over the last few days. A lot of headlines made. We've talked about James Pierce and him mixing it up. I think there's a fine line. I talk about it all the time. Like, as a rookie, you kind of want to keep your head down, but you also kind of want to show everybody what you're about. What have you made about the chippiness at practice? I know there's a couple more shoving matches today. It looked to me on the outside like Raheem probably told everybody to tone it down a little bit. Some guys were kind of walking that line, and then it was like, I ain't going to go any further. But you love to see that, I think, in the end, at least the energy level from some of these rookies out here.
I agree. It's you want to know you got that edge as a team. And again, there's a fine line to walk. You know, you're wasting time at practice, you're losing reps, all of a sudden you start throwing hands, you know, don't ever practice bad habits. We can't do that in a game where now you're gone and now we're hurting for the next game and a half, right? So there's you know, there's a tight line to walk, but you want to know your team has that edge, especially in the trenches. And so seeing our guys have that edge, seeing us have that edge, the chippiness, the energy, the excitement, the trash talking, it's been a really fun camp so far.
All right, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but your dad played in the league, yep. And now your brother, younger brother, Jonah's in the league. Did he go – you probably went to your dad for some advice in NFL, starting that career, kind of like what to expect. Did Jonah go to your dad or did he come to big brother?
So, yeah, four of us have played in the league. One's out right now. One's in Boston, just signed a really good deal over there. One's in Denver, and I'm here. And, you know, little bros, I'm the oldest. There were times they would come to me about things. But really, we've got my dad, and he's been so awesome and all this stuff. And that's a reason all of us can rush the passer. You know, my other brother, Patriots, just got paid, had a good year rushing the passer last year, coverage. And then Jonah had 5 sacks last year. Without that many, if you look at his rush ops, it was a really high percentage that he actually had. And I've been able to do it, too. So, it's one of those things where we do feed off each other. We do ask each other questions. I was working with Christian on covering running backs this offseason because he's just been locking them up these last couple years. Jonah has a great pass rush arsenal, so I can go to him. I can pick his brain about things. Our younger brother's at Utah. But at the end of the day, my dad's just, he's such a good coach, such a good teacher, and so passionate. I think one of the things I love most about learning from him is it's just always belief, and it always instills belief, right? Like just the belief that you're dominant, the belief that you can be everything, the belief that you're the best. And as we're working and learning and, you know, picking the brain, it's just always said in a positive mindset, right? So it's just awesome learning from him. He's the best. I love him so much, and I pray to be like him one day.
Well, we have Caden Ellis on the morning shift. We cannot wrap up, though, without asking you who you're rooming with here at training camp.
You know, I got JD with me, and there's two other guys I haven't seen yet. It's been, we've been coming in different times, but I go and put my kids to sleep every night. So I get back right at curfew. So a lot of times, you know, like JD's early to bed, you know, he's you know, type A, you know, doing everything perfect and right. He's probably asleep at 8 o'clock, and I'm rolling in at 10 o'clock after putting the kids to sleep at home. So
you didn't have to like coordinate who's gonna bring the console or anything, gaming console?
I ain't playing no games while I'm out here. Not the only games I'm playing is going back to playing Ninja Turtles with my kids.
Man, I love it, man. Yeah, that's Caden Ellis, Falcons linebacker, man. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
Thank y'all.
Definitely appreciate Falcons linebacker Caden Ellis joining us yesterday at Falcons training camp. Now, I didn't bring this up, but he is one of 12 kids. His mother has
Good
to be
Lord.
A saint. Like, can you imagine that dinner
Good
table every single
Lord.
Night?
I stress out over having two children.
I know.
Which we talked a little bit afterwards. His kids are the same age and same. He's got a 5-year-old boy, which mine's almost 5, and his little girl's 3. I think that's cool that he gets a chance to go put them to sleep. We've talked about they're a little bit more lax on the time constraints of training camp, and that's something I don't think most of my teammates got a chance to do, is actually go home and hang out with their kids. But that's awesome he gets the chance to do that. I'm assuming that curfew is probably 10, so he probably, you know, around 8 o'clock goes home, spends a couple hours, and then comes back and sleeps right there. So that's really, really cool that he gets a chance to do that. But yeah, you're right, 12 kids, no thank you, I'm good on that.
Unbelievable. I don't think people realize his dad played and he's got as many. I didn't realize he had, I knew he had his one brother. I didn't realize he had two other ones. I want to say that I'd heard about one of them, but I didn't know he had two other brothers. That's four of them in the league, and obviously their dad played in the league. That's pretty crazy. I thought it was really cool how he talked about his dad. You know, I didn't know he was the oldest. Think about that. He's the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
It's so wild when you think about it. But and he was a guy that was nobody. I remember when he was signed here, everybody was like, "Who? What's this guy? This guy couldn't play for the Saints." No, he could. And he went through some injuries, and you hear it. He was just so gracious with his time. We got, I mean, that's 15 minutes we basically stood there with him before, during, and after the interview on the hottest day in the year. And he had practiced for, right over 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he was – to give those in-depth answers, and he wasn't done. He went and did more media stuff. So, pretty crazy. What a dude. Hopefully he can ball out this year and they can find a way to bring him back.
Yeah, he could not have been nicer or more gracious with his time. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Coming up, we've got another extension to talk about. The Colts have locked down a player for 4 more years. We'll talk about it when we go in the huddle next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan, of course, behind the glass. We're going to go in the huddle momentarily. But this morning, driving in today, guys, I had something happen that I think everyone wishes would happen. It finally happened, I think, for the first time in my life. I was coming out of my neighborhood, which, Bo, you know my neighborhood. When you come out, it's a little bit busy of a street.
It's very busy because there's hills involved. Like turning, and if you're turning left or right, you're basically, if you're turning left, you're going over 3 to 4 lanes.
Exactly. So there was one of those people, you know, who was super important, way more important than me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Zoomed on by. And I, you know, just waited for them to go. And I got behind them. And sure enough, 50 feet ahead. Whoop, whoop.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so good. So good.
I have not, like, you're always like, when is the policeman going to be here to catch this? And this morning it happened immediately.
Man.
Oh, man, I wish I'd have had your cop Monday. The cop that was there, because Monday I was going to get mail because I've been told I need to stop slowing off of pork chop before it becomes a bad habit. And This Mercedes, you know how lanes will merge?
Uh-huh.
And this Mercedes drag raced me, like, when there was no reason to. I was I had the position, and he drag raced me. And then I got an angry, so I laid on my horn for about 45 seconds. And
very long time.
So that then now it's a two lane with a turn lane in the middle, and that the Mercedes SUV literally pulled out in the turn lane, used it as a suicide lane, and passed two cars in front of them. And then guess what? When we got the red light moving forward,
yeah,
they were just two cars in front of me. I needed your police officer.
Yeah, you did.
Because you were pretty calm. I'm not. If I'd have been you this morning, I'd have been screaming.
The impressive part about Bo and I, you know, talk on the phone sometimes when, you know, they have long drives or whatever. I'll just ring him and see what he thinks about something about the show.
So cute.
Yeah, you like that? You know, besties for the resties.
let's not go overboard.
Yeah, I was trying to be friendly, but it's all good. No, man, it's just funny how quickly Bo can go from a thought that's through his head to road rage without even, like, it sounds like he's still in the same sentence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, man, that's a really good, oh my God, get out of my freaking way, a good idea. I'm like, how did you do that? Like, how did you just straight up, like, you just went from one track to the other, man? So, it's impressive.
There is something about being inside your own vehicle. Everyone outside of your vehicle is just an idiot. Like, why is that?
Well, because being in your car is like being in the airport, okay? Mm-hmm. People lose their mind, they don't think rationally, and they're only concerned about one thing, getting to their gate, and their gate and the road is their destination. What exactly did that car do this morning? Did I miss that? Like you said, they were in a hurry, but did they go through another lane or they go around you? This morning.
Yeah, I was just waiting to come out of my neighborhood, but it was just one of those that sped right by, going way, 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 way too fast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I should have had time to turn out based on where they were coming from.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And no, so I was like, you know what? You have it. You go right ahead. And I'm so glad I let them.
So, doesn't that drive you nuts? Your neighborhood, I thought about it. Like, I was like, I wonder, and I apologize for this, but I go, I wonder if Allie and Grant put into their thought process of one of the things that was like a con or a pro for buying this house was the neighborhood entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't have a turn lane to get in, and then coming out, it's a little bit, it can be, depending on the time, it's like,
dicey.
Whoa, yeah. But then I was like, nah, their house is pretty tight. So they're probably like, yeah, we'll deal with it. The house is great.
It's only at 4 in the morning do I drive out that way.
Yeah.
There's a back way out.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe I should have told you that when you were driving.
I didn't know that. It was two ways in. I just thought there was one way in, one way out. Who would have known?
Maybe I should have let you know to make your driving a little bit easier.
No. It was fine. It was fine. But I can see how that would be a moment of like, oh, disdain for you.
Yeah, yeah. But it was very nice to see that police officer there. Thank you for your service this morning, sir. So Final Friday is coming next Friday, August 1st. It's the Final Friday of 2025 where no football will be played. So to celebrate, Dukes and Bell are having a party at Margaritaville at Lake Lanier Island. And we want you to be part of it. So listen to Dukes and Bell all this week for a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to Margaritaville at Lanier Island Water Park. And then join us August 1st as we celebrate the end of summer and the start of football with Final Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So Trey Hendrickson is planning to report to Bengals camp today, ending his holdout, yet still no closer to getting a new deal done. But it does stop the $50,000 a day fine.
This is just another chapter, isn't it? And this just feels like he's the first one to blink, but I think that everybody that's heard him speak and heard him do interviews understands that he was always going to be the first one to kind of reach across the aisle on this. And he wants to be with his teammates, and he wants to have a good football season. And I don't blame him. I'll be curious to see how much activity he's actually doing during training camp. I could see this turning into a hold-in situation. I don't know that he spoke on that. But, yeah, I mean, he's not getting fined anymore. That's fine. But with the money that he's looking forward to getting, hopefully, $50,000 a day doesn't sound that bad. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I don't see any resolution coming anytime soon to this.
I viewed it strictly as he just went from being a holdout to a hold in. That's the way I viewed it, just because I don't know how that's not what it is. I don't think he's gonna. I'd be shocked if he said, "Oh, I'm practicing now." He said he's not gonna play. So is anything changed on that front? I think he's accrued I saw the number. It was like a ridiculous amount of fines, like not $1 million, but up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just went from being a holdout to a hold-in, and he'll wait now to get – he hopes that's going to jumpstart it too, which maybe it will.
Hopefully they come to a conclusion soon. So Colts left tackle Bernard Raimann got a 4-year, $100 million contract extension.
Pay that man his money. this is such an interesting story for anybody that's not familiar. He's from Austria. He went to like what would be Austria's like kind of IMG, starts playing football at age 14, actually becomes an exchange student and lives with somebody up in Michigan that used to play for Central Michigan and kind of goes that route, ends up there. He was a third, fourth round pick, I think, and then all of a sudden he's thrust into the starting role, and a couple years later he's making $25 million a year. It's just – it's a really, really cool deal. He's really, really talented, a lot of upside, and he's somebody that the Falcons will see coming up in Munich, Germany. So it's interesting. We'll see him in just a few weeks.
I mean, you play players on the edge in this league. You pay them, and we get too caught up in, can you give him that money? He's not this, he's not that. No, he's a solid player that goes out there and does his job, and that's what you want in those positions. So you pay them, and you pay them as quick as you can so you don't have to overpay them.
Well, and Browns co-owner Jimmy Haslam dismissed the idea that he's taking a look at Arch Manning for 2026.
You get paid by how many hits you get, okay? And I think if you know the Manning family, I would bet that, and I don't know Arch at all, okay? I bet he stays in college 2 years, so I don't even think that's worth discussing.
Interesting. I completely understand what he's talking about. He had a lot to say yesterday about the quarterback position, which was very interesting. He was talking about how, you know, Shedeur Sanders wasn't really his pick. You know, that he was like, you know, that's something for Brant and those guys. I don't know.
What's the benefit of saying something like that?
I don't think he thinks like that, Jimmy Haslam. I don't think he thinks ahead like that.
Well, I do actually. I think that's a great question, Allie. I think the benefit of him saying that is to go against this thought process that their pick was Dylan Gabriel, which was Andrew Berry, and then that he came down and said, no, you go get Shedeur Sanders, brings eyes to our team, brings attention. Like, because why else would you pick two quarterbacks that close together late in a draft? It just doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it, but I think he wanted to take attention away from that he was the reason they did that, which he might have been still.
Well, how would you feel, though, if your boss came out and was like, wasn't my choice?
That's what I was pointing to. You know, with Jimmy Haslam, I don't think Jimmy Haslam even bats an eyelash at throwing people under the bus. I mean, yeah. It's just kind of we've talked a lot about the Bengals' dysfunctionality, and I know there's been a lot out there about the Cowboys, but, you know, I think we can all kind of accept the fact that the Browns are kind of right there with them in terms of just dysfunctionality over the years. And Jimmy Haslam's been at the center of that for a while now. And all these things are intriguing, man. It's almost like you just want to be like, you know what, man, we just figured we'd have a few more people in the room competing, and it is what it is. But, nah, man, I had nothing to do with that. That's all him. I know I own the team and write the checks, but, nah, I'm good on that.
Our owner's not in this category. Arthur Blank's not in this category, but most owners, the PR guys have to just cringe when they know it's their day to speak, because they just you can't control them. They say whatever they want, and they'll throw people under the – and again, not all, but some of them will throw people under the bus. I mean, Jerry Jones, I mean, it's a soundbite every time he talks. It's just like, stop talking.
And Steven's becoming the same way. I've been listening to a lot of Steven Jones. Well, he's right there on the coattails.
Yeah, like, dude. It's unfortunate a little bit for him because he's going to be the next guy, but I mean that's his mentor.
I know. Well, what do you know? It's like Caden Ellis, man. I just learned from my dad. It's like, okay.
Well, coming up, Brandon Adams joined Andy and Randy yesterday. He talked about what he believes Georgia's offense is going to look like this year. We're going to get into that, and it is Which One Wednesday. Which Braves pitcher will have a bigger impact on the Braves this season once they get back off the IL? Schwellenbach or Sale? Think about that. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass there. And this hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. You know, the wake-up call is coming up at 8 o'clock today. If you have questions for the morning shift, you can tweet them at us. You can also do the good old-fashioned thing and give us a call.
Yeah, and I've got questions for people, too, as well. I mean, it's college football time.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the Atlanta Falcons for a week now, and it used to always blow my mind in college. We would report to camp, and we'd get in the locker room, and there'd be TVs on, and then you'd see, like, the Cowboys are in day six, and you'd be like, oh, my God, how are they already in day six of practice? We were just reported today. But college camps are a little bit shorter because you do get to the games a little bit quicker and things like that, although they don't have preseason, so it's a little bit different. But, yeah, I think Georgia Tech getting underway yesterday. I think Bama is today, and I think Georgia's tomorrow. So a lot of these teams getting rolling. We talked about Lagway earlier down in Gainesville. So
if they eventually do away – if they eventually go to nine games and then move on with college football where they kind of do away with the kind of playing the smaller schools, I think they should do – something like a jamboree of sorts, like high schools do, where they bring in, like, you know, Florida maybe brings in two smaller schools and pays them like $500,000 a piece or $1 million a piece or something, and plays them for a warm up, like a warm up game, just kind of, you know.
All right, doesn't count, but it's just you can get some.
Yeah,
I'm here for that
because I mean, and then you add in an extra buy or something for these players, and maybe take away one of the games they already play.
Yeah.
Don't need 13 games in the middle of the season. Play 12, right? And then, or however many they play these, I think it's 13, and then play 12 and add an extra bye week, and then you can get started early. I think you could do a lot of things, but you know, that there you lose money, so that can't lose money.
And
so
we're going to get to some of the conversation around Brandon Adams, the Georgia Bulldogs from yesterday, but like, I'm curious to get you guys' thoughts on this as well. Is college football for me used to be a year-round. I paid attention year-round.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the portal, I've kind of lost track. You know what I mean? Like, you have that kind of lull in the schedule with college football now where I'm like, man, I can't keep track of who's going where.
Right.
I don't. It used to be like, oh, man, can't wait for signing day, this, that, and the other. Now there's so many moving pieces that I'm like, you know what? Come August 1st, I'll pick back up and I'll start figuring it out then. You know, but until then, it's like kind of hard to keep track of. So now it's that time. Like, we're here. You know what I mean? So now I'm like, okay, yep, back at it.
Also, the only thing you ever keep up with now is what's the latest ruling that a form of government has made on college football and what's changed there about who's getting paid and who's not. It's just it's really kind of become exhausting. So it just to keep the love and passion for it, just wait till football season and watch the games.
It almost feels like when you're watching a crime show and they're putting together all the pieces to the case,
really,
and
does.
You're trying to tie it all together with the map
the
and the notes and everything.
And the thumbtacks.
Yep. All of that. Well, in the spirit of college football, Brandon Adams of Dog Nation did join Andy and Randy yesterday. He was talking about how he believes that this year's Georgia offense could look pretty similar to Georgia's 2018 offense.
From 2020 kind of up until now, Georgia has sort of thrown it better than it's run it, which is way against type for the early days of the Kirby Smart era. I kind of wondered, given the running back talk we just had a moment ago, given the fact that Gunnar Stockton is a first-time starting quarterback, what if we go back to, like, say, 2018, when Georgia still had a youngish quarterback in Jake Fromm, but they averaged like 37 points per game offensively, and they were, I believe, a lot more effective running the ball than throwing it. Still a pretty conservative offense overall, but yet pretty good result. I sort of wonder, how would Georgia fans feel if this offense this year looked a little bit like it did in 2018? Statistically successful, but not quite as like dazzling through the air as the Todd Monken offenses have been, and perhaps a little safer, a little more on the ground. I kind of wonder if we could maybe see this sort of harken back to some of what Georgia did really well in 2018, and that would, I think, in the eyes of some, go back to your point, that feel a little bit more like classic Kirby Smart if it did take a step in that direction.
I think it's interesting that he kind of frames this as a question. I spent a couple of years hosting a show with Brandon Adams, and you know, he does a good job of kind of framing these as questions towards the Georgia fans and things like that. I'm not a Georgia fan, breaking news, but I would have to say that most Georgia fans don't care as long as it's explosive. Like, is that fair to say? Like, it's like, I don't care if it's, you know, Sonny Michel running the ball or Brock Bowers catching the ball. I don't care. I just want it to be an explosive offense and be able to stay on the field and continue drives and score touchdowns. I do think of, you know, the 2018 offense, the early Kirby Smart days of you know, the ground and pound style of offenses, just simply because, you know, when Kirby was on staff at Alabama, that's what we were. That's what he, you know, took to Georgia, and that's what he started with. But everything changes. Nick Saban eventually brought in Lane Kiffin. They started throwing the ball and Sarkisian and things like that. So everything kind of changes and you just do what's best to suit your team. So I, as a Bama guy, it sounds, honestly, it sounds kind of terrifying for me though, if they're able to get back to 2018 style where you can just run the ball at will?
Well, they're going to have to be really good up front, which they weren't last year. I mean, they weren't good up front last year. They couldn't run the football at all. They were not. That's why they threw it so much last season. They're also going to have to play defense to an elite level. Like if they want to win a national title, they got to play 2021 defense. If you're going to play that style offense, you have to score points. You have to be that's what it has to be. And unless you're telling me that Gunnar Stockton is going to be an extension of the run game, which I do believe he can be, and we saw that in that game against Texas. So if he's going to be an extension of the run game and it's all going to be based around that, and you're still going to score 45 points a game, then great. But we can talk about how great Stetson Bennett played, and I was a big defender of him when he was here. But don't forget that 21 season was one of the greatest defenses that ever walked the field in college football the last 30 years. Don't forget that, because if you do, then you're having complete revisionist history, because that defense led that team to a national title.
Insane.
The 22 offense was much better of an offense than that 21.
Well, and one thing that Brandon touched on yesterday that I don't think a lot of people realize is he's saying there is a quarterback competition going on.
I don't put much of stock in the idea that it's a competition. I really don't. I mean, the worst kept secret in the world is that Gunnar Stockton is going to be Georgia's starting quarterback. I don't think that Kirby Smart's going to probably announce that, because he would have had a chance to do that at SEC Media Days and obviously sort of didn't. You know, Kirby just doesn't like to sort of play along sometimes with whatever the narrative's supposed to be. Look, I think they like Puglisi. I really do. And people that know more than I do have told me they do. And yet, I think the challenge right now is not, can Ryan Puglisi overtake Gunnar Stockton to become the starter? The challenge is, can Ryan Puglisi become the kind of guy, if Stockton were to get injured, they'd feel okay putting into a football game? Because just given his lack of experience, even less than Stockton's, I don't think we're there yet with him. But when you see his overall talent set, well, of course, you know, you certainly see a lot that there is to like there, but they've got to get him ready in the event he could go in a game. And I think that's step one before we talk about any kind of like, well, could he perhaps, you know, one day be the Georgia starting quarterback? I think you've got to get him to the point where you feel okay putting him in, which is a lot of what this fall camp is going to be about.
I love Brandon Adams. I do. But he is a professional of nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to see. And I honestly don't see much of a quarterback competition. I do think that there's something to be said about the fact that Gunnar Stockton has been the guy and is wholeheartedly believed in the locker room. But I do think, and I've talked to other people that are around this program, like, yeah, I mean, Ryan Puglisi's a dude. Like, he's a guy. And you have to understand that. You know, the question being that if Gunnar Stockton is, you know, not injured the entire season, is he the starter the whole year? I don't think that ship has sailed in that conversation at all. And that's not a knock on Gunnar Stockton. That's just a head nod to Ryan Puglisi and the things I've heard about him.
I'm not saying it's a knock or it's not a knock. I'm saying it shows you the confidence they do or don't have in Gunnar Stockton, and how highly viewed in their eyes Ryan Puglisi is. I mean, there was a lot of talk last year after he played those few games, Gunnar Stockton, that he was a one read and pull it quarterback. And have they seen the growth and the progression from him to do that? Because he's kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth. There's nothing to see here yet. Oh, it's going to be a run heavy offense all of a sudden when this is a team that couldn't run the football the last year or so.
Yeah. I personally, As a guy who Bama will visit Athens, and knowing how much they struggle with guys like Diego Pavia last year, the thought of Gunnar Stockton running the ball absolutely terrifies me. It absolutely terrifies me. The plus one in the run game was not good for Bama last year.
Well, yeah, but you still have to be competent in the pocket. And I'm not trying to be. And Brandon comes on the air. I worked with Brandon for years. I was a producer at one point in time, but he's kind of. You know, people tell me I talk with rose-colored glasses sometimes. I hear a little bit of that in some of those comments. It's kind of churching it up a little bit to make it sound like you said there's nothing to see here.
And before Allie gets kicked off with Which One Wednesday, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. It is Which One Wednesday. Allie, take it away.
All right, let's go. Which Braves pitcher will have a bigger impact on this season once they get off the IL? Schwellenbach or Sale?
Well, I'll go first, I guess. Chris Sale, because I don't even know if Schwellenbach's coming back this year.
And I wouldn't rush him back, yeah.
And it's a lot easier. I don't think no injuries are necessarily easy to come back from, especially the older you are. But Chris Sale knows how to come back from an injury. He's obviously done it before. And it's a rib, not a broken freaking elbow.
I was going to say this is not an arm injury. It's a rib injury. So I'd go with Chris Sale as well.
Okay. AtlantaFalcons.com has been putting up so much video from training camp, including lots of mic'd up videos. Which coach would you rather hear mic'd up on game day, regular season game day? Jeff Ulbrich or Zach Robinson?
1,000,000% for me, Jeff Ulbrich. And I like Zach Robinson, and you know I think it's always interesting to hear something, but the energy that you can hear coming out of Jeff Ulbrich and the relationship he has already built with his players, I think it's going to be special. I'm not saying I think the defense is going to be special, but I think his relationship with these defensive players is already at a nice level.
Entertainment-wise, it's Ulbrich, just because I've been around him a lot, and I know who he is and how he is, and it'd be fun. But just from an intriguement, I guess that's a word, I don't know, but just wanting to see what going through Robinson's head when he's doing a game and everything, it would be Zach Robinson. Like, I think I could – I just want to see where his thoughts go and why he's doing certain things. I just know what Ulbrich's going to give me, and I know that would be better for an entertainment value.
For the clicks. All right, so which one would make a better sports talk show host? Adam Sandler, we've been talking about him a lot this week, or Bill Burr? Mike, you go first on this one.
Oh, man, this is tough. We're talking about sports talk?
Yeah, okay. Sports talk.
I'd say Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, I think I've seen Bill Burr a couple times that's tried to, you know, fake it till you make it when it comes to sports topics, and it's like, I really think that Adam Sandler loves, first of all, he loves to hoop. He loves to play, like, pickup basketball. I'd go with him. But I love Adam Sandler. I'd listen to him do just about anything.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, Adam Sandler, because most of you guys love hearing Mike Bell talk in the afternoon. Like, I know all our listeners, I work with Mike forever. Mike's got all these voices. He's very entertaining. He's witty. He can pull quick stories. He can, you know, make fun of a goofy situation, right? Well, that's Adam Sandler, but that, you know, but even a bigger level,
that's
right?
That's another stratosphere.
Yeah. Right? So it's Adam Sandler. And Adam Sandler actually, Mike's right, he actually loves sports. He not only is a big hooper, but he's as far as loves to play, I think he's pretty freaking good, too. Like, Adam Sandler can play some basketball.
I think we have time for one more. Which Falcon would you rather get into a dust-up with, just like James Pierce did, at training camp? Matthew Bergeron or Caleb McGarry?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Younghoe Koo.
I would say that Caleb McGarry probably has a little more grit. I would say that Matthew Bergeron's probably a better fighter. So it's just, I don't think you're going to make Caleb McGarry tap out at all, ever. But I think that Matthew Bergeron probably can hit you a little bit earlier with a combination. So I'd probably want to fight Matthew Bergeron, but I don't think I want to do either one.
I don't know. It'd be like, I would be running on either legs and stuff. maybe Lenny Craig. I don't know. The other guy that's trying to play for the kicker. I'm not taking on our punter. I can't remember our punter's name.
Pinion.
Yeah. Pinion's like 6'5".
I was going to say, you don't want the smoke with Pinion.
Yeah, he might have a bigger head.
Maybe
also
I'll go
than
for
Mike.
Liam like, McCullough.
You didn't want the smoke with Matt Bosher either. Bosher laid some people out in his day, too.
Yeah, Bosher was physical. Now, I'm not messing with Liam McCullough either, though. Yeah.
You're not messing with anyone,
basically.
I'm just
going to take on, I'll fight a place kicker. How about that?
Maybe that's a good wake-up call
question. Maybe Easton Stick.
Who would you least like to fight for the Atlanta Falcons? I can name a few of them. Zach Harrison I wouldn't want.
Yeah. No?
Yeah, it's a long reach, man.
Well, the wake-up call is coming up next, 404-726-0929. You can jump on the show with us right now. Ask your questions via Twitter or call in. Who are you keeping an eye on at training camp right now? And do you think Gunnar Stockton will start all season for Georgia? Call us now, 404-726-0929, or if you're shy, Twitter works as well, at 929 Morning Shift, but I promise we don't bite. 404-726-0929. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.